Folks, you can support the hardest working sports talk show in South Florida through Cash App or Venmo. Just search Cash Big O Show. Support us through Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show. We thank you for your incredible support.
Alrighty, alrighty. Wow. By the way, just got to say, I'm going to you now in 1 second, but damn it, where is it here now? How come I've lost it now? Anyway, I will get to it in 1 second here. Ray Martinez, thank you for the love on Cash App. Thank you for the Bitcoin donation, my brother. Very generous and extremely generous. Thank you, thank you, thank you, sir. So just want to thank Ray. As always, you guys can make a donation, Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show. That is Cash Big O Show. You threw my average out of whack now, so I got to throw that new average now. Anyway, welcome aboard, Matt. How you doing, my brother? You doing good?
Doing well. Doing well. Just waiting to see what the hell happens at good old Sports Illustrated. That we're good.
At where? Getting where again? What was that again?
I said it. Just waiting to see what happens at good old Sports Illustrated. We're just trying to. Oh. You may have been reading about it in the news. It's been.
I didn't know there's something new now. Oh shit!
The license got purchased last week.
Right.
Which is a good thing, but it's just, okay. Yeah, now there's a transition period, and it's just,
but
just waiting to see what happens.
Okay, because there might be more changes.
So I would say, I mean, it's, listen, you know, love working there. Love Sports Illustrated, but it's been interesting the last 9 days. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn by saying that. I think anybody who's been following along knows, you know, they grasp that. But other than that, good. Yeah, you know, watching the rule changes and, the NFL and, you know, being surprised that they did some of them. But
I'm happy about the hip drop tackle. Tyreek was never the same after that tackle for the rest of the year. I'm not a fan of it because you're just basically, it's like a lazy tackle. You're just hooking and then just throwing your weight. And I get it that it's harder to play defense than ever, but, you know, we don't pay for people to do the hip drop tackle. We pay to watch them score touchdowns and throw it and sack the quarterback and those kind of things. So anything that you can eliminate injuries, I'm good with that. So I don't know where you stand on that one for the hip drop.
I actually don't like that they removed it. I think it's going to create more injuries because I think what's going to happen is guys are going to say, well, if I can't tackle you like that, if I'm behind you, I'm going to dive at your legs. I guess it's going to happen.
And so what happened with grabbing legs?
Oh, I don't even necessarily mean grabbing. I think guys are going to just dive at people's legs because they're going to be like, well, I'm out of position. And I think, hopefully in most cases it will be grabbing an ankle. Fine. But I think you're going to have some guys who just go, well, screw it. I'm going to dive your back, your legs. And I think you're just going to have guys getting rolled up. I think it just makes it harder to legislate the game. The NFLPA came out and said they didn't want it removed. And you know, the NFL never listens to the NFLPA, so they just do what they want to do anyway. And I don't want to hear any of this nonsense at the NFL about player safety because you're playing two freaking Christmas games on a Wednesday.
Right.
So spare me the whole, like, we care about the play. No, you don't. I, in theory, I don't mind that they got rid of it. I just think it's going to be replaced by things that create injuries as well. So I think at some juncture you have to accept the fact that it's just a game where injuries happen. And, you know, I think the hip drop tackle being eliminated, fine. But now I just think it's going to be replaced by other ways to injure a guy from behind or from the side.
Yeah, I just don't – my problem with the hip drop tackle is there's a good chance injury happens when that tackle happens. And that's the problem I have with that tackle, that it just puts the player, the offensive player, in a terrible, because you're carrying the guy's weight now all of a sudden, and you're taught to try to fight through a tackle. So then that's just, you know, right there, something's got to give. And so that to me, that's why I don't have a problem, because I'd rather try to save people from injury overall. The return, I love it, actually. I actually enjoyed that part of the XFL. We were getting no returns. Now there will be some strategy.
Yep.
Now you can actually scheme it up. And if you are able to free somebody off that initial line, man, you're home free, dude, because the kicker ain't going to stop you, bro. Sorry. The kicker, just 9 out of 10 times, that kicker is going to take a wrong angle and he's going to just be, you know, he's just going to see your ass in your numbers. That's what he's going to see when it's all said and done. Your thoughts on the kickoff rule?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, I know it's radically different than what we've seen, but that's not always the worst thing. Like, sometimes you've got to, you know, evolve at the times. And, you know, I think that it at least creates some kind of strategy, like you said, instead of just bombing out of the end zone, the play doesn't even matter. Now it actually matters. Like, now it's like, okay, you can still bomb it out of the end zone, but now you're giving up 5 more yards. Now that team's starting at the 30-yard line, not the 25. And if you kick it to their team's 5-yard line, you know, or in that zero, being between the goal line and the 20, let's just say the 5, you can't fair catch it. You got to return the ball. So I do think that makes it interesting. You don't have guys coming downhill 1,000 miles an hour, which I think will make it easier to block those guys, and you might spring some bigger returns. It is very interesting. I'll be curious to see, like, in third and fourth quarters of games, do teams still just say, look, we're going to kick it through the end zone because we're not going to risk some guy running it back and we'll give up the extra 5 yards? Or do you see teams say, look, we're going to try to, you know, kick the ball down inside the 5 and we're going to make you return it. And we can maybe get off a few blocks and tackle you at the 16, 17-yard line. It's interesting. It's interesting. If nothing else, I'm more than willing to see it, you know, for the year. And if it doesn't work out, fine. But it's worth a shot. I don't mind that the NFL did it.
Yeah, I'm all in for that one. I like it. Top 3 picks, what are they going to be? What's the order?
Well, it's going to be Williams first. And then after that, it's going to be, in my opinion, it'll be May and Daniels in some order. I think it should be in that order. I think it should be May and then Daniels, but I think it's probably going to be reversed. Everything you hear is that Daniels is going to go too. Now, you know, it's also lying season, and, you know, there's a lot of smoke out there and a lot of BS, and like, we all know that that's true. But I would say Daniels 2, May 3, McCarthy 4. I think the first 4 picks are all going to be quarterbacks.
Yeah. No, and Daniel or May for you?
May.
Okay.
May. And I'm not like really.
It's funny because a lot of people are Jaden Daniels.
No, I it's one of those things. I get the argument. I have a hard time when for 2 years, everybody's watched all these guys and been like, Williams is 1, May is 2. And nobody's quibbled with that. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, actually, Daniels. And you're like, well, why? Based on what? Like, we just watched all this. I know he won the Heisman. I also know he had 2 incredible receivers. And if you look at his numbers when he goes outside the pocket, it's a problem. It's a big problem. Like, I'm not saying he's not going to succeed at the next level, but I do think there's more questions about him than May. I think you watch that kid throw the ball, he can just throw the football, man. I just don't see a lot of downside of Drake May.
I think Drake May is going to be a better pro than he was a college player.
I tend to agree with you. I think he's going to be really good.
Obviously, as long as he gets a good coach, you know, which is the most important thing, that you get somebody that really knows quarterbacks and you're in an offense that you know protects him and all that. I think Drake May can be a hell of a player, dude. I've watched him here in the ACC. That kid's got everything you need, really. And you know, it reminds me a lot of Matt Ryan and Boston College, right? Because, like, when he came out his last year, he had a bunch of interceptions. And I would tell people, well, bro, do you watch that team? Drake Callender. And I still remember the name. Drake, this is 20 years ago. That was his best player, some guy named Callender. It wasn't Drake. I think that's our goaltender. But the guy's name is Callender. That was like his best player. And it was like one of those things, like he had nobody. He was forcing the ball. You know, this guy will be a solid quarterback overall. And he ended up becoming a solid quarterback. And I think May is a guy that he's had some good talent at North Carolina at times, but there's other times where, you know, he's had to kind of carry at times. So it doesn't always put you in the best positions. And that's why I think he doesn't get the love at times. But if you watch him, dude, he has all the tools that if the right people get him, I think he can be a hell of a quarterback in the NFL, man. I really do.
I do too. I do too. I think he's going to be a very good quarterback. And I don't think there's going to be a huge learning curve here either. I agree with you. I think he's going to be very good. I would take him too. If I was Washington, I would take him too.
All right, so we talked last week about the Odell situation, and one of the things that I reported was, obviously, there was no deal imminent, but one of the things that I've tried to explain to people over the last year and a half, these guys don't really go out and give you a ton of money, and that's why I said for the Dalvin Cook stuff, they weren't going to give him a big contract. If he comes on their terms,
right?
You know, because they don't value that position here. Or Jonathan Taylor, when, oh, they're trading for him. No, they're not, dude. Unless they want to take a bunch of salary from Miami, then maybe they'll make a trade and they'll give up something and all that. But they were never willing to trade picks and big salary and all that kind of stuff. And so I've explained that the whole Odell thing is, it's a low contract. It's somewhere between the 4 or 5 range with a bunch of incentives because they look at him as a complementary piece. Some fans look at him like, oh, he's going to be one of your top guys. No. That's not the way Miami's looking at it. And I don't know who else, the Steelers, who else is out there.
Right.
But nobody else is looking at him like a 1 or 2 anymore because you can't look at him like that anymore. But under those conditions, I actually say, yeah, you should sign Odell. If it's a reasonable contract and he's there to be a complimentary guy and he understands that, then I think it's worth it. You know what I mean? Big salary, all that kind of stuff. Then I would tell you, no, hell no. I don't want anything to do with the guy whatsoever. So under those kind of conditions, where do you stand? Where do you think the Dolphins, should they continue to try to pursue that? Or you think it's a bad idea?
I would just draft a guy in like the mid rounds. This draft's a loaded receiver.
They don't pick till the 5th. They have 1, 2. And that's going to go O-line, D-line, probably.
Right.
Maybe corner, if wild card or something like that.
Howard.
I don't think it'll be receiver. And so you got to wait till the 5th round, doggy.
Look, man. I mean, trade next year's 4th or something. And get okay. Or maybe trade back in the 2nd round. And you know, that way you still have a 2nd rounder, but you get like a 3rd or a 4th or something. Like, I get yourself into the middle rounds, and I draft a receiver. I just look at Beckham. Beckham hasn't been – like, I know for the Rams, he had a stretch where he was good for like a couple of months.
And he was solid with Baltimore, actually. If you look at it, he actually would have had better stats if Lamar was accurate. Lamar missed.
Look, man, he's shot at this point. I don't know. Like, remember, I can't go there.
Remember, it's Tyreek, Waddle, Janu, and then it's he's really a 4th option.
I get it. In 2020, he had 319 yards. In 2021, he had 537. That was the year with the Rams, where in 8 games with the Rams, he had 305 yards. Okay, it wasn't like he lit the world on fire. 2022, he missed the whole year with torn ACL. Last year, played in 14 games, did 35 catches, 565 yards. Like, and he was the number 2 on that team. Like, now he's going to be number 3, so he's going to be even less productive, in my opinion. Like, he's going to be even less productive. So, like, I just look at him, and it's like, why? Why bring him in? Like, I mean, I'd rather go sign DJ Chark, like Josh Reynolds.
I love DJ Chark. What a great route runner he is, dude. I love DJ Chark.
You know, like, I just look, it's nothing against Odell personally. I have nothing against the guy. It's not like because I think he's a problem in the law. I don't think that. I just think
he hasn't been that actually the last couple of years.
No, he hasn't been. That's why I'm saying I don't think it's that. Like, it's just he's gonna be 32 years old in November, and I'm just kind of at the point with him where I think it's over. I just think it's like, it is what it is. I think it's more that the injuries have just caught up with him and he's just not the player he was 4 or 5 years ago. No, listen, you want to sit there and say, hey, sign him for 1 year and $3 million and a bunch of incentives. Okay, fine. But I mean, I would try if I'm Miami to find a way to get another top 125 pick. And I would just draft a receiver because just class. I've talked to a lot of people in the NFL. I'll tell you, there's going to be 10 of them gone in the first 50 picks.
Yeah, it's deep. It's deep. Yeah.
That's how I'd go. If they can.
And by the way, now, because I talked about this yesterday with the new kickoff rule, and because the contact isn't from, you know, a guy coming 40 yards downfield.
Right.
You might use Tyreek at times. You might use Waddle at times. You might use Achane at times because these are guys with wiggle. Or you do what you said right now. You go find that third receiver in the draft that's kind of a returner also.
Yep.
And so and then he's your fourth option slash returner at the same time. So that could be also an option. But then again, that because of that rule change, draft boards might be adjusting all over the league right now because they're saying, well, wait a minute now. Now we could go get a returner and we could get a guy that has a little shake and bake. All he has to do is make one or two guys miss and he's gone.
I mean, does Xavier Worthy have more value now? He ran a 4.2140. He's got a little more value.
Yes.
Put him down on the goal line for a kickoff return. All right, man, go nuts. I think you're right. I think that certainly will factor in when these teams are making their picks.
Yeah, I definitely think that would end up being a factor. All right, what do you got going on in Sports Illustrated so folks can check you out, my man?
Well, right now, all of our content is going up on Athlon Sports because of the continued situation over at Sports Illustrated. So if you'd like to check out my work for the time being, you can check it out at Athlon Sports. I think I have something going up this week. And then after that, we'll see. I would say that the best course of action right now is to follow my Twitter handle.
Right.
And then go from there. Because I'd love to tell you what's going to be going up.
It's a crazy business, bro.
But I don't know the answer to that question.
Crazy business. I mean, I've had my last 10, 12 years in this business has been just freaking wacky, bro. Freaking wacky. After like a lot of stability in radio, there isn't any. Yeah. But I had a lot of stability like the first 20 years, 22 years or something. Yep. But the last 10 or 12 have been just a disaster, bro.
It's an interesting situation that if people want to read about it, I'm sure they can find a way to read about it. But as we stand, yeah, I would follow my Twitter handle and then we'll just see what it's published and where it's published and when, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You got it. And follow him on Twitter at Matt Verderam so you can keep up with everything there. Matt, we will catch up next week, my friend. I appreciate you as always.
You got it. Take care.
Thank you, sir. There you go, Matt Verderam. Yes, sir.